Welcome back to Table Talk, folks. Pull your chair back up. Hope you refreshed your cup. Ready for some more Johnny One notes here. Brent and I are probably accused of always going to the same old plays. And one of those is going back to the beginning. Already we've referenced that in the first part of this program. But isn't it interesting that the evil one comes and the temptation is, did God really say, right?
Yeah. That's how his temptations always come.
That's right. That's right. And so, to question the author and giver of life, who gets to decide life and what is good? See, all of these questions are interrelated here. God is the author of life. All things that have been created were created through him. And without him alone, that life is not sustained.
And so, whether it was the op-ed by former President Clinton or whether it's President Obama or somebody else, when they push and urge the Supreme Court to rule the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional, not once do they let God's word speak to the issue. And there's a reason why they don't. It's because God's word is for a marriage between a man and a woman only.
What a dangerous precedence to set. To use God's word as a standard.
Although they will do it for various other agendas.
Yeah.
When it's politically expedient. But here they can't do it. Here they can't do it because the word of God is clear, and society itself has existed from day one. I mean, the whole world has existed based upon God's creative good will that was established in Genesis.
So the creation he creates, the life he gives, That is what we would call natural.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's created order. Listen to what we read here in Romans chapter 1. And this is you know, the Apostle Paul is speaking to those who have exchanged God's truth for a lie, if you will. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Notice, exchanging natural relations. God says this is what marriage is. This is what sex is to be used for. This is why I created you male and female. This is why a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is how you are to be fruitful and multiply. And this is good. It is good for you to be the creature I've created you to be.
That's right. And that's why you have the sixth commandment. You should not commit adultery. And positively speaking, each commandment is like a fence that protects a gift. And here in the sixth commandment, we have God's fence in order to protect a gift, the gift of holy marriage between a man and a woman, and God's goodwill for a sexual relationship between a man and a woman to be used in holy marriage. But you know, the problem for most people is that sex is an end in itself. And we're also dealing with that problem here. Again, I'm going to repeat this.
In other words, sexual relations are disconnected from the other gifts that God has given.
Yeah, according to his word.
Okay.
So I'll have sex with whoever I want, as many times as I want, whenever I want, because I like it. It fulfills myself. This is living
narcissistically.
Yeah, that's right. I can't even say the word.
So
idolatry is what it is.
So it's not just a homosexual who will say, I'm going to have sex with one of my own gender. But even the person who says, I will have sex with someone who is not my husband or wife. This is the fence that God is building.
That's right. That's right.
All abuses of sexuality.
Anything that adulterates marriage.
Adulterates.
Anything. Any kind of situation or relationship. Anything that adulterates marriage is in violation of God's good creaturely will.
So God gives a good gift and he protects it.
That's right.
That sounds like giving life and sustaining it.
And that's the point. But we rebellious sinners, we don't want that. And so we live for ourselves. We want to be gods for ourselves. We define for ourselves what is good, and that's anything that I want or anything that goes for me. And then we define what is evil, and we are experiencing this as we're talking about it here in this program. For example, what is now described as evil as is, well, marriage is only for a man and a woman. The Defense of Marriage Act. That is now considered to be evil. And again,
unconstitutional.
Well, that's the polite way of saying it. But you'll notice how they bare their teeth against people like you and me who stand for what God teaches. All of a sudden, these loving, tolerant people are the most unloving and the most intolerant people on the face of the earth. And they're going to go after us one of these days. Maybe not you in particular or me in particular, but, I mean, because we're nobodies. But anybody in who has a prominent position in society and the church who stands against, you know, what society is teaching on this subject, well, the enthusiasts, the God-withiners, and the Gnostics are really going to bare their teeth because this, they cannot stand, when it comes to idolatry, you can't have false worshipers. So when you preach the idolatry of the self and the fulfillment of the self in the way we're talking about it here and critiquing it, there can be no false worshipers. Can't be.
You know, it's like you said earlier, you know, it really is this exchange going on. That which God calls good, man calls evil. This is for the good of mankind that we would have homosexual marriage. I mean, that's what they would say. And to oppose that is to do evil and to do harm. And so people like you have to be quieted or gotten rid of.
That's right.
Because you are literally hurting your fellow man.
And they're hoping that we'll just be quiet.
But see, that's what the enthusiast says. The enthusiast says, there's a better life. There's a better life to be had, and so I guess we need a better God to get us there.
And
guess
me.
What? I'll
that's
step
me.
Up, and I'll be it.
That's right.
And if I can get the majority of people to agree with me, well, now we have a mandate.
And it's raw power. That's what that is. It's simply raw power. When you live in a society where there is no objective truth, then it comes down to just simply raw power. And then... how should I say it? Making sure that your way is implemented.
Yeah. Everybody hates authority unless you're the one in authority.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, now let's backtrack a little bit. Against the enthusiasts and against the Gnostics, we confess and teach that God wants us to be his creatures.
That's good.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's not just good for Brent and Scott and our families, or it's not just good for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is good for all of creation.
That's right.
The way of life and the way of death.
Well, yeah, I mean, the way of life is the way of a man and a woman in holy marriage. This is how God creates creatures, is through a man and a woman. In a homosexual union, or I'm not even going to say the other word, the M word, because there is no such thing. It's all in the way of death. There can be no life coming from it.
It's a great deception, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a better life, but it does not lead to life.
They cannot be fruitful and multiply.
No.
Because it's not a part of God's will. So God wants us to be his creatures, and we are not then to rise above our creatureliness in order to be gods for ourselves. So, Scott, you know, when we look at the sixth commandment, you should not commit adultery, this commandment teaches us how to be God's creature. Seriously, it teaches us how to be God's creature.
Now, you know, part of me is getting nervous, Brent. Are you going to start talking about a dependent creature?
That's right.
Oh.
And taking care of your neighbor.
And you say that's a good thing, to be a dependent creature?
Yep, in the way that God gives you life through a man and a woman. But
in other words, give thanks for your mom and your dad, for one thing.
And that's
rejoice in that.
And that's connected, of course, with the fourth commandment. And just quickly, you know, with the fourth commandment, again, we learn how to be God's creature because we didn't tell our mom and dads, now I want to be born. No, it was given to us. To be a creature, it was just given to us. So we learn how to do that according to the fourth commandment. Now with the sixth commandment, similarly, we learn how to be God's creature. And how is that? Well, we take care of the neighbor that is most close to us. That's our spouse. So when you're married, when a man and a woman are married, God then teaches you how to be a dependent, here I go again, a dependent creature and not the creator. I'm going to repeat that. It's holy marriage that teaches you how to be God's creature and not be the creator. And so to be truly religious or to be truly spiritual is to marry, if you're a man, a woman, or if you're a woman, a man, and then have a family.
Wow.
Holy marriage then between a man and a woman is to be truly religious and to be truly spiritual.
Now you're going against the grain of the enthusiast.
That's right.
Now you're petting the cat the wrong way.
Yeah, going against the grain big time. And then this is where sex has its properly, divinely ordained place.
Wait a minute. You're going to talk about sex in a positive manner?
Because it is.
Oh, you mean just do whatever feels good?
No. It has its orderedness, if you will. It has its placedness. It has its locatedness. Yeah, sex is a good gift from the Lord. It is to be used properly in holy marriage between a man and a woman. And sex is for something.
Not just for sex itself.
That is correct.
And not just for me.
That is correct. Well, it's not a self-fulfillment thing.
The God of my life orients everything for me.
And this is where we need to repent.
Right.
We need to repent of this. Sex is for, I'll just mention two things because we're running out of time. It's for the mutual giving of the self to the spouse. And then secondly, sex is for having kids, to have a family. It's for procreation. See, God, in other words, God wants his creatures to have more creatures. So the Gnostics are just going wild here, but this is God's will.
You know, you really are talking repentance here because you're talking about the reorienting of the sinful nature.
It has to die.
It has to die because the sinful nature wants everything else in creation to revolve around me. You are here to serve me. But God puts you in his creation in order to be dependent upon him and then also to look outside of yourself, to serve your fellow man.
That's why in Ephesians, you know, when it teaches that we're saved by grace alone, and when Romans teaches we're saved through faith alone in Christ, so it's grace through faith in Christ alone. And then what use does God have for us in this life, we who are redeemed? For good works. That's what Ephesians 2 teaches, for good works. This is why Paul talks about in Romans 12, offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. You deny your desires. You deny your needs.
So the Ephesians 2 reference, Ephesians 2:10,
yeah,
the good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. You mean the good works of a man marrying a woman marrying a man, being fruitful and multiplying.
And taking care of your family.
Taking care of your children, honoring your father and your mother.
Yep.
Huh.
This is truly religious.
What a novel
spiritual
approach. Well, folks, there's a lot that will be going on. You'll begin to hear more about the Defense of Marriage Act as it comes out in the news. You need to pay attention to this. Very close attention. Listen to the language that they're using. Once again, is this based upon a word of God? Or have we become our own gods? Do we simply replace God's word for our own word, a word of life with a word that leads only to death? Well, we hope that you will all rejoice in the gifts which God has given to you, and especially the gifts given in our Lord Jesus Christ.